At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 207 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return for the penultimate time in 2024, at least for the penultimate Grand Prix review of 2024. We're back today to talk about what was one of the most chaotic races of the season, aren't we, Jamie? Qatar was a bit bizarre.
Yes, it was very entertaining, I'll put it that way, whether it was much of a sport or not, we will get on to. But it was a fun race to watch, and there was a lot to talk about, and a sprint, of course, to start the weekend. So yeah, going to be talking about a lot of things, and a few things that have happened since that will probably have been confirmed by the time this gets uploaded, but we'll see.
Yeah, so of course, I think this is going to be quite a long one, isn't it? So strap yourselves in, grab yourself, you know, your favourite drink, some popcorn, everything like a cup of tea, perfect. Because we have got a lot to get through today. Luckily, obviously, we did a preview show, didn't we, Jamie, heading into Qatar. There wasn't really a lot to talk about, was there, heading into the weekend, apart from, obviously,
Andretti.
Andretti, which we did mention, we did speak about. Luckily, obviously, we managed to do that in the preview show. The big things that were probably the changes to the circuit, weren't they? They finally fixed the curbs here, and, which staggered me that so many people forgot, the Grand Prix here was like 6 weeks later in the year than it was last year.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's going to be way cooler.
I forgot that as well, to cut everyone some slack. I was like, oh, they're going to be struggling again. Logan Sargeant's going to pull out a race he's not even entered. but yeah, the mandatory tire stops were not necessary. Although we still get some tire drama, which was made the race interesting. But later in the year, obviously Max won the title last year, and he won it with 6 races to go at Qatar. So there was another 5 races to go after Qatar last year. Whereas only 1 this year, of course, next week.
Yes, yeah, obviously our season, it feels mad, doesn't it? In a weird way, it feels like this season has really dragged on. And in another way, it feels like it's kind of too quick to be over at this point. But, I mean, obviously we'd sprint qualifying, sprint weekend, so free practice, of course, was fairly kind of everyone obviously playing it safe, trying to get as much data as they could. But it feels like, I think, because the grid has got, especially in 2024, has become so much more condensed, that the sprints now can be a bit more interesting in one element, in the idea that qualifying now is normally a bit less predictable, but it then just means the sprint races are a bit more boring because everyone's just trying to get information ready for the GP on Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of people use it as testing for the Grand Prix, especially if they get a bad grid position, because, you know, one overtake can get you 1 point. So it's kind of like, why bother trying unless you've got a massive car pace discrepancy and you can go through like 8 drivers quite easily in a sprint race? Then there's not much point risking things. It's kind of what we saw in the first season of sprints, where it only points for the top 3, wasn't it? Where outside the top 3, there was just nothing to fight for.
No, exactly. And I mean, I mean, we haven't really heard of any other revisions for next year, have we, with sprints? I'm at the point now where I think, you know, I don't think either of us are going to sit here and try to advocate for them still, because they are just a little bit ridiculous.
I don't hate them.
No, I don't. Personally, I don't hate them. I think they're at a point now where they're viable, aren't they?
Yeah, 6 Grand Prix a year. The thing I don't like is that I just think they should play with the quali format a bit, personally, because it's obviously a little bit shorter than main Grand Prix qualifying.
Yeah,
but it's just too similar. Like, maybe you do reverse championship one shot or something. That would be fun. They're never going to do reverse grids, to be honest.
No, exactly.
I just think, yeah, something to mix it up to make it even less similar to just a watered-down version of qualifying and a watered-down version of the Grand Prix.
Well, I'm trying to think about how you would change it so it's not being used as a free practice. Oh, obviously, the sprint race isn't being used as a free practice session. Because, of course, Formula One have tried to experiment with qualifying I mean, even since we've been watching in more recent years, haven't they? And nothing has worked. You know, we're also not saying that the qualifying format doesn't work. Because it's
to be fair, knockout quality would have worked if the teams wanted to do it properly. Just the teams didn't bother. Like, they could have done knockout quality so well.
They didn't have
the tyres were too sensitive.
No, there wasn't enough of them was the problem.
I guess, yeah, yeah. But the teams still went about it like it was a normal knockout, like a normal Q1, Q2,
Q3. But it basically was when you only get a certain amount of tyres. You can't just keep going out there again and again and again. Of course, you can only
It was a good idea, really, really badly executed. But that's enough on 2016 Australian Grand Prix. We'll move on. Yeah.
you just have so much nostalgia for the 2016 season, Jamie.
I do.
Your problem.
Max Verstappen rinsing Hamilton in a Toro Rosso. Yes, please.
What?
In the Grand Prix in Australia.
In Australia.
Hamilton was crying about being behind an 18-year-old Max Verstappen.
He wasn't rinsed by him. He was just in his way. He was the problem. Because always Verstappen is slower than Lewis. Into sprint qualifying here, Jamie. Let's talk about the important stuff. Obviously, sprint Q1, like we said, unpredictable, low grip. So it felt like it was more of a skill-based session. Maybe that's a stretch to say. But we had Perez out. We had Joe out. We had Colapinto out.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you know exactly what I'm trying to say. Ocon, who, for whatever reason, has just been miles off Pierre Gasly in every session for about the last 6 weeks, apart from Brazil, since they brought that new upgrade to the car, which he's tried to claim the team is sabotaging him over, which is quite funny. And then Tsunoda as well, wasn't he, at Q1? For whatever reason, VCarb here were arguably the slowest car this weekend, which is quite odd.
Yeah, it was really strange because you had, like, really, really flashes of pace throughout it. Obviously, spoiler for the sprint or the Grand Prix. Like, Lawson qualified top 10. Tsunoda in the sprint, that is. I think Tsunoda was on the brink of top 10 in the GP qualifying session.
No, he was 15th. 16th.
Oh,
he
was
15th. 15th, sorry. Yeah, he just squeezed through Q1.
And then in the race, in both races, they were just absolutely nowhere. I just think, yeah, they couldn't get the tyres working. Potentially, because it was weird to say that it's not a normal race for tyre wear, is it? And tyre warm up,
it's a weirdly odd circuit as well, isn't it, Qatar? Because it's both high speed corners, but I mean, even the start finish rate isn't that long in the grand scheme of things. So it's kind of high speed corners, but not a high speed circuit. Which is rather peculiar. Like, you're trying to think of other circuits like that in Formula One nowadays.
Well, it's testing track, isn't it? Or a MotoGP track. You think Portimao is quite similar.
Portimao isn't similar. Portimao's got loads of slow corners and elevation change.
I guess, yeah. So the elevation is a bit
relevant,
isn't it?
But yeah, no, just a really, really kind of weird one, isn't it? And say, spoiler again, obviously, like we saw last year, bizarrely suits Sauber down to a T, which is quite funny.
Yeah.
Which we will definitely get onto. They really are, which is quite
hence
impressive.
Representing with the caps today. I don't know if you've got your Zhou Guanyu.
I have got my Sauber
on.
Hat on. Unfortunately, I don't have a Zhou Guanyu specific one, but yeah, Jamie and I are all on the Zhou hype train this weekend, which you'll be pleased to know.
One race to go, he's going to win.
We are earning our Chinese CCP points, which is always good. That'll be 10 points to each of us, thank you. Xi Jinping, we will be claiming those when we... are we going to do podcast live tours, Jamie? Shanghai 2025?
Yeah, sure. Why not? If they're going to have us, we'll go.
We'll go. There we go. CCP, if you want us to represent at the Chinese Grand Prix next year, Jamie and I will be there.
That's as far as I go.
Dear me. Let's just blast through the rest of sprint qualifying because it wasn't that dramatic, was it? Both Astons were out in Q2 alongside Albon, Bottas and Kevin Magnussen. And then Q3, Jamie, Lando Norris just snuck pole position away from George Russell, didn't he? And Russell, we were not expecting Mercedes to be quick here, but Russell able to split the McLarens, which I think we all expected to be the dominant force. Sainz in fourth ahead of Leclerc, Verstappen ahead of Lewis Hamilton, Gasly, Lawson and Hülkenberg made up our top 10 come the end of qualifying ready for the sprint. It was a slightly unpredictable end result, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Russell being that high was unexpected. I guess Verstappen, the Red Bull just didn't look on it at this point in the weekend, so did fairly well to qualify sixth in the slowest car on the grid. Yeah, fairly expected, really. And you, yeah, obviously the constructors' fight was the one to talk about, and it looks advantage McLaren after the sprint qualifying with 1-3 versus a 4-5. And I think for Ferrari's perspective, Sainz being ahead of Leclerc was probably quite annoying because they're trying to favour.
He's
Leclerc.
Got a newer engine, apparently. He's got an engine with less mileage on it still. Or he did for the sprint, definitely.
There you go. I doubt they would have changed the engine overnight. I guess they could have done. But, yeah. I'm sure Leclerc fans would find something to complain about anyway that Sainz is beating him. So,
exactly.
Yeah, straight into the sprint race then, which was Saturday afternoon, wasn't it? Yeah, you're going to see a bit of teamwork from the McLarens, and as we expected, that is exactly what happened off the start, with Norris deliberately giving... Obviously, they start one behind the other, so it was quite easy for him to give Piastri a tow, but he did. And Piastri got into contention with George Russell and completely did him running outside of turn one. Very good move from Oscar to brave it out there with George Russell. And yeah, up into second place, which was a McLaren 1-2 immediately. And that was really advantage McLaren, with the Ferraris still, well, fifth and fourth, weren't they? I think Leclerc dropped a little bit, didn't he, after behind Hamilton?
Hamilton did get a decent start in the sprint, but couldn't really do a lot with it, ultimately.
No, but that sounds like a skill issue. But we'll get on to that. Another skill issue was Sergio Perez, who started from the pit lane after his atrocious 16th place in sprint quality, along with Colapinto, who started from the pit lane because he qualified last. The green light went on in the pits, and Perez just didn't bother. His reaction time was slower than at the medical car, and Colapinto went past him in the pits. Like, what's going on there?
So, I mean, it's hilarious. I'm absolutely with you on that. It is so funny. And of course, we'll dunk on Perez always whilst we can still between now and the end of the year. But there was sadly a reason to this. And that was they wanted Perez... Basically, they weren't using the sprint entirely as a test session, which proved to be very, very useful for Red Bull. But he was told to create a gap to the cars in front. So obviously, Colapinto just went round him. But yeah, that goes to somewhat explain it. The other thing, though... Which, of course, you think, well, are Red Bull just trying to save face here? If you listen to his onboard there, Jenson Button spoke about this as well. He slipped the clutch like you would on a road car. It was not how a Formula One car sounds if you're going to get a good launch, which is quite funny.
Yeah, so that backs that up, that maybe Red Bull were using his car as a setup tester. He got the full Lewis Hamilton experience, as the conspiracies would say. And yeah, to be fair to them, if you track that through the rest of the weekend, then it paid dividends, you would say.
It certainly did, didn't it? Because we talk about skill issues there. I think the other skill issue was, you know, the fastest car on the grid getting jumped by an Alpine and a Haas down at turn one, which is quite funny as well. Verstappen lost places to, Pierre Gasly and Nico Hülkenberg. He admitted that he was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time on the exit of turn one. Got kind of
and the Red Bull
bunched up behind the Ferraris.
In this
sprint race. And the Red Bull in the sprint was hilarious to watch as well, because it was just all over the show. But very, very quickly after that, didn't we, Jamie? The sprint race kind of just became McLaren's giving it... Well, Lando giving Oscar slipstream, and no one else could do anything. Because as fun as Qatar can be, it needs a proper overtaking place. And obviously with DRS trains, that's impossible. It either needs the straight to be shorter or a proper braking zone somewhere is the problem.
Yeah. If you just even like narrowed off the angle of turn one or something, if you make it like the second last corner at Shanghai or something like that, then that would be a good overtaking spot, because you could have like a few sends and that'd be great. But
the problem is that the DRS zone works great for, because we got into the Grand Prix, when you're not in a DRS train, that DRS straight was pretty much the perfect length, I would argue. Obviously, with the radius for turn one, we had a lot of cars going wheel to wheel on the way in. But obviously, when you're in a train, it was just impossible. So it's kind of, I mean, it's the Middle East. Surely they've got the money that they can change that corner on a whim. Each and every lap, they could just change the angle of it.
You'd imagine so. They built 8 World Cup stadiums in about 3 months, didn't they? So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, just give it a bit of a sharper angle and a braking zone.
But only sometimes.
Only sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah, like a Joker lap. That would be great.
I mean, the only other thing to talk about the sprint chamber, which was hilarious because you were not happy with this based on our predictions for the weekend. But Lando Norris, completely unannounced, just let Oscar Piastri keep his 100% win record in Qatar sprints. Out of the final corner, he didn't say anything on the radio, he didn't confirm it with the team, he just let Oscar by, which was quite funny.
There actually was some radio comms. Did you not hear that?
From the team to him, but not vice versa.
Yeah, from the team to him to say don't let him through.
Yeah, and he just did it anyway.
Because the team were like, we're too risky. Like, Russell's less than a second behind. So it was too risky. They didn't think Norris could get it right to give Piastri the win.
Yeah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I said nothing the whole time, and then he smashed it. He did it very well.
I also wouldn't trust Lando Norris in trying to time that. He definitely bottled it.
I mean, yeah.
This time around, he didn't. But it did mean, luckily, Jamie, it's probably
the best thing he's executed all season, really.
I backed 2 points in the predictions.
You did. Because of that. Because you put Piastri to win when Piastri was getting babied the entire race. He had no pace. Norris was towing him along, lifting off 0.3 every middle sector.
Yep.
And but who won the sprint? Handed Piastri the win.
Thank you. 2 points to me.
Yes. And obviously, the predictions were very much in your favour. They were seven points between it.
I had a 7-point lead coming into the weekend, didn't I? And two points left to play for. Exactly. You desperately needed a good weekend as it would go on. That being said, though, Jamie, as we went into real qualifying, you would immediately be handed 2 points back as a freebie, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I mean, we can skim through this pretty quickly. Ocon again, way off the pace in Q1. Colapinto, Albon, Hülkenberg, and Lawson all out. So Hülkenberg gets damaged reputation from the sprint race. Oh no, sorry, that was later on in the weekend, wasn't it?
Hang on, Hulk was class in the sprint. He got 7th.
That was
where his weekend ended.
Exactly. Yeah, you get to the actual important stuff, and Hülkenberg absolutely pooed himself. Gasly at the Sauber, Tsunoda, and Stroll out in Q2. And then this Q3 penalty. I'm not a Max fan. Anyone that's listened to this podcast before will know I will throw Max under the bus at any point. What on earth is that as a penalty? Neither of them were on laps.
Neither were on laps. Max wasn't even driving slowly. He was just driving at a normal in/out lap pace.
Yep.
Russell's the one driving unnecessarily quickly, if anything.
Well,
and he just drives.
I mean, you can't
almost
really
back
claim that unless you're trying to get into the pit lane in a Formula One car. But yes,
like, there's no reason for Russell to get into Max's diffuser in this situation, but he does. Similarly with what he did with Fernando Alonso in the last lap of Australia, out of interest.
He was nowhere near his diffuser until Alonso brake checked him. That one I will always say should be a penalty, but that's also...
Regardless, the fact that this was a one-place grid penalty, like, what are they doing? It's ridiculous. That's unprecedented. There's never been a penalty for someone blocking someone when they're both on in laps. And yeah, it was Russell and his FIA mates, to quote Verstappen, like, ganging up on him, as he did in Melbourne on Fernando Alonso. Yeah. And you could tell that Red Bull and Max were not pleased about this.
No. And to be fair, in this one instance, I can't blame him. I don't agree with Max's comments going, he plays the nice guy to the media, but behind the scenes, he's a bit of a pain.
Not even the media. Like, I feel for Max there, because what he's saying is you've got to be, like, the same person through and through, which Max totally is. He's just who he is.
But he's just an arse on both sides of things, isn't he?
Yeah. But what's better, being consistent or being two-faced? In Max's mind, he'd rather have someone consistently be a pleb than be nice to your face and then go to the stewards and cry about things all the time.
Yeah, I suppose. George Ross has always kind of been one of those, hasn't he? You just know he was
teacher's
a prefect.
Pet.
Exactly, you just know he was a prefect back at secondary school and things like that.
Yeah. He would tell the people that there's homework. He would tell the teacher.
Oh, yeah, he would tell the teacher. Yeah. I bet that was you, Jamie. I bet you did that.
I might have done once.
And if you can trust me, I'd normally forgot there was homework even due. Back when I was in secondary school. I could blame it. Did I try that once? I can't remember. I might have tried to blame the dog for something. I think at one point, though, the dog did legitimately do something to one of my homeworks.
Of course, of course.
And I'm not even joking when I say I vaguely remember him doing something.
Fair enough. But I got 2 points because I put Russell on pole.
You did get two of the scabbiest points back.
The upshot
is... It was immediately even
because you shouldn't have got Piastri's points. I shouldn't have got Russell's points.
No, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, I tweeted this out on Saturday night at Matt2&2. I mean, no one uses Twitter anymore, do they?
It's all Blue Sky. Everyone's on Blue Sky now.
Are you not on Blue Sky? Oh, I was going to say.
No, but people are.
Yeah, I'm on Blue Sky. I don't post on there yet, but I'm getting off Twitter this year. It's just such a horrible place. And the thing is with Twitter is I just use it for DMs nowadays and bait tweeting against people that don't like it. But anyway, I mean, I tweeted out Saturday night going, Max with that one place penalty, he is absolutely just going to wipe George out at turn one.
Yeah.
Didn't end up happening because he did just get a better start into that first corner. Lando Norris then almost immediately got past both of them. But Max did his typical, you're on the outside, therefore I'm going to push you off.
Hey, this was not bad at turn two.
That was not his worst of the day. But it was
normal racing. Like, that was nothing untoward about that at all.
Yeah, still. But this is the thing, isn't it? Because they spoke about it apparently earlier on the weekend. We can't still quite make out exactly what they mean, but apparently the drivers want the rules changing for next year, but we don't really know how. And either way we look at it, Jamie, it still makes no sense because it's not going to promote racing.
Yeah, it's going to promote being on the inside and shoving off the driver on the outside.
Exactly. We saw a great battle with Hamilton and Leclerc.
Until the driver on the outside ends up in a gravel trap, and then they'll give penalties out, which is
stupid. Exactly.
I actually, you know what? I don't have a massive problem. Like, I don't care. I would like to see the rules be normal and good and encourage good racing. But if you're going to have a set of rules, stick to the set of rules.
Yeah,
and
rather than it being
like,
whether
I don't want this. Oh, if it's tarmac, you can get away with it, and the driver on the outside will get penalised for overtaking you off the track. If it's gravel there, or Austria turn three, you're going to get a penalty every single time. That just makes no sense.
Exactly. And I mean, if you're a Formula One Grand Prix circuit right now, I don't care where you are in the world, you're putting gravel on the outside of every corner that you can to stop this from being the thing. Because it is so stupid.
Let's just do 24 rounds of Spielberg next year, please.
That would be terrible, but okay. So obviously, we mentioned there, obviously Lando almost getting past both of them, but it would be Max that held the lead at the first couple of corners. Lando up at P2, George Russell doing his best Lando Norris impression off the start. Chaos behind, though, Jamie, wasn't it? Courtesy of Nico Hülkenberg.
Again, I'm going to throw a defence here. Ocon was already crashing into Colapinto.
He was going to be close, but he wasn't because Colapinto
was already running off the track. He was already running off the track.
I think he was just about going to get it stopped. It is counted quite a bit on the outside.
Hülkenberg did a massive bowling impression. He does light one of these every now and then, just wiping everyone out.
He does have one weekend. It was Belgium a few years ago, wasn't it?
It was Belgium when I was there, which was hilarious.
Yeah. We were both there.
We did. That's why we met in real life for the first time.
Wow. Yeah, but Hülkenberg has to drop one of these a year where he just decides to turn into Lance Stroll, doesn't he?
I'm just glad he got his 2 points in the sprint because that redeemed it a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, Hülkenberg messed up. And he was the only one to actually carry on. So Colapinto, for the third race in a row, was only second DNF in a row.
It wasn't in a row because he survived Vegas, didn't he?
He just obviously binned it massively in qualifying.
Apparently, that's 17 what's known as major crashes for Williams this year.
Oh, it's crazy.
Pretty much one a weekend. The damage must be astronomical.
Like, if you think about individual races this year, almost all of them have a major Williams crash. Because they had Logan Sargeant for half a year.
Exactly.
It's a bit crazy. You feel for James Vowles and the mechanics who are actually doing the work.
and of course, obviously, Hülkenberg did his best Stroll impression to turn one. Stroll, in a bid not to be outdone, Jamie, would then proceed to wipe Alex Albon out of turn four in the most Lance Stroll. I mean, when you watch him race 99% of the time, apart from that one lap in Turkey, watching Lance Stroll race is like someone doing their first ever laps behind the wheel of a racing car. You just do not get a single sense of belief that Lance Stroll has got any kind of natural talent behind the wheel of a Formula One car. That's the thing, isn't it? It just always looks alien.
It's like he's been going
alien
at it long enough. Yeah. he's been doing it long enough now where he's got like enough experience driving a car to be
he knows
okay.
where the buttons are. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, it was a bad one. And again, you can blame the tire warm-up because it was very poor. That's what Hülkenberg blamed, because the hard tires were not
he
really
was the only one
race.
On hards, to be fair. It was Stroll was the only one to bin it on mediums at the start.
Yeah, yeah, but it was just pure understeer on the inside. He just tried to take too much speed in, which is similar to what Albon did to Magnussen later in the race, actually. But yeah, a lot of understeer going on this race, wasn't there?
It was a very understeery GP.
Yes, it was. But that was a safety car, obviously, because there's two cars in the runoff area at turn one, and Hülkenberg carried on with the puncture and then pitted. Yeah, also at the start of the race, someone very keen to get on with it was Lewis Hamilton. Too keen, in fact, because he jumped it. And his stock is just falling and falling because, yeah, that was only the start of what turned into a pretty horrendous race for him. And almost all of it was self-inflicted.
I think he is just... And I will say, obviously, as much as I back Lewis, and, you know, you're saying his stock is through the floor, I think absolutely he'll come back with Ferrari next year. And as long as that car gives him what he needs... I'll be laughing just a lot at you about that comment.
Great.
But he is definitely a driver that if a world championship has already been wrapped up or things just are not going his way, he kind of just stops caring.
He just checks out, doesn't he? He's
which
just
Max
gone.
Can also be known for doing as well on a couple of occasions. Like,
well, Lewis did it when he was winning titles. That's the thing.
He would also check out, yeah, after he'd wrapped up a world title, he just wouldn't win again that season, which was quite an odd record that he maintained
until he got handed a win by Esteban Ocon. That was true, actually.
Didn't
for,
he do it
what,
in 2018 as well?
Yeah, that was race that Ocon took out Max.
I thought that was 19 Brazil.
No, Max
no,
won 19
Brazil. Max won, didn't he? Did he not do it in 2018? No, he didn't, did he?
Well, no, Lewis won 17, the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Yeah, sorry.
No, 17... He gave up. Vettel and Bottas won. There was only two races left.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Wild.
Yeah, 15. Just... Rosberg won all three. 14 was the last race.
Yep.
Oh, wait, was the last race, I suppose.
Exactly.
There's not actually many races to go off there, but still.
No. But yeah, it's a weird little kind of thing with Lewis Hamilton. He did 19 and 20, he did, to be fair.
And all of this from Mr. Never Give Up as well.
Yeah, he does make me chuckle with that one, because obviously people were going, you know, he'd never give up, and he wanted to give up as the race went on.
He did.
As I'm sure we will talk about. But, I mean, yeah, very, very quickly, wasn't it? The race looked like it was kind of just going to turn into a repeat of the sprint of, you know, unless you're not in a DRS train, you know, obviously the only place you can go for moves here was down in towards turn one. Obviously, after the safety car restart, though, Liam Lawson would spin and almost take Valtteri Bottas completely out of the Grand Prix. But it would hand Zhou Guan Yu a couple of freebies, which would prove very, very useful.
Especially on his teammate, which is very useful.
Exactly. And Bottas was carrying damage then for the rest of the afternoon. And basically, the only other thing was, if you've had any kind of history with Honda, which is Fernando Alonso and Yuki Tsunoda, you were just going backwards.
Tsunoda was, what, 10th or 11th on the restart? And then
he made five
got overtaken.
At the start. Yeah.
Just kept getting overtaken by any car. Zhou Guan Yu went past him around the outside of turn one in a sauber.
That is words I don't think we've ever spoken, that Zhou Guan Yu went around the outside of someone.
Well, back in 23, he was all right, but not this year. Definitely not this year. yeah, but Tsunoda was done. And then, yeah, the race, the pit stop window began. George Russell boxed from third on the track, not the grid. And went onto hard tyres. Hards were horrendous. They were very scared of last year when everyone started getting punctures, that they went maybe a step too hard on the tyre selection this time around. Although saying that, softs were horrendous as well. So it's really just the mediums you wanted to be on.
Yeah. Yeah, had they had the choice, everyone would have done the entire race on mediums. Because the softs just fell apart because there's too many high-speed corners. The hards you couldn't get heat into.
Yeah. So Russell went onto the hards, had a slow stop, which didn't help, which dropped him behind three midfielders that he wouldn't have been behind if not. And then he just didn't overtake them. He was just stuck behind, I think it was Magnussen and Gasly.
Alonso.
Yeah.
He could not get by, yeah.
So any hope of an undercut on Verstappen or Norris was just done, because he was just, if anything, well, definitely going slower, because he was pacing at the same pace as the midfielders on old mediums. So that was a shame for Russell. But quite funny, because karma.
But,
there you go.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, it was just one of those weird ones, wasn't it? Because obviously, as soon as George did that, and as soon as everybody else realised that the hards weren't working, nobody we were kind of now pitting into this game of cat and mouse of nobody wanted to pit. So, of course, then, I mean, Jamie, this is the big thing, isn't it, this weekend? Once more, the FIA, the stupidity knows no bounds. Lap 30, Alex Albon loses one of his mirrors on the braking zone into the only overtaking place on this entire lap. Now, if you don't know, Formula One cars versus broken glass, you tend to get punctures. So you think, well, you know, it's maybe a VSC. You just tell the drivers you need to be very, very careful. You know, things like that. You probably have to call a safety car because obviously you'd have to get through the pit lane to clear the debris. The FIA, they keep showing green flags and yellow flags. Green flags and yellow flags. The HUD on the live feed was having mental, an absolute fit. And they just don't do anything. They leave it there until, of course, the inevitable happens and Bottas hits the mirror. And immediately Hamilton and Sainz both get punctures because of it because there's just glass everywhere.
Yeah.
So unbelievable. It took them 8 minutes from that mirror falling off for the safety car to get called. Just how insane is that?
It was ridiculous, to be honest. Someone at the FIA will be losing their job for the second time.
I hope it's Mohamed Ben Soleim at this point.
Yeah, it was just dumb, wasn't it? I mean, the fact that, yeah, the mirror was left there for so long. And genuinely, I wonder if Bottas hadn't hit it, would they have even called a virtual or a real safety car? Were they happy to just leave it there?
Just to leave it there. The plan was
to get rid of the one overtaking spot with a yellow flag.
Exactly.
It would have destroyed the rest of the race. It would have made it awful. Because, yeah, that's the only spot you can overtake. Obviously, if a yellow flag zone's on a DRS zone, they usually deactivate DRS. And obviously no overtaking, and you've got a lift, which Lando Norris didn't pay attention to, out of interest. But yeah, it was crazy. And Bottas obviously smashed it, which is quite funny to watch. And yeah, broken carbon fibre and broken glass on a racetrack. Like, it's a surprise not more drivers got punctures than just Hamilton and Sainz, who were running in pretty, like, okay positions. Were they fourth and sixth, I want to say? Like,
That's
they're relevant drivers to the race, and they're just taken out by no fault of their own.
Hamilton was going to beat George because of this. Before this,
probably.
Sorry.
Probably could have done. Also, shout out to Oscar Piastri, who literally just made a pit stop to not get a puncture. That was quite funny.
Yep, and then got immediately screwed over because of it.
Yes, yeah. The one thing that I will say for the FIA, which, actually, this is going to be a backhanded compliment anyway. I get why they didn't put a VSC out, because the cars were so spread that there genuinely wasn't the space to get a marshal onto track safely with a VSC. So that kind of explains why it wasn't a virtual safety car. What they should have done is gone for a full. The reason they didn't go for a full is because they've got no backbone in the slightest. Because if they went for a full, Verstappen pits, Norris pits, everyone who hasn't got a pit stop yet takes the pit stop. And they get so much flack on social media and from the teams for showing favouritism whenever they do something like this that they just didn't bother.
But there's a really easy fix to even that, Jamie.
What's
call the safety car as soon as Max and Lando had gone past the pit entry.
Well, that's what they did in Miami, and it handed Norris a win.
Let everybody else pit behind and make it interesting.
That's exactly what they did in Miami, but because it was Norris's first win, everyone loved it. Nobody cared. If they're going to give Verstappen a win, they're going to get annihilated on Twitter. But safety, you're running a sport. You're not putting a TV show on.
Exactly.
Like,
it's not reality TV. It's so stupid, isn't it? We sound like old people going on about this because I remember back in my day. But Charlie Whiting, if that had happened, safety car would have been called immediately. You don't like it, get out of the sport. Pretty simple. The thing is, what people seem to forget is Charlie Whiting just made the right choice.
It's not hard.
It wasn't perfect. Like, nobody is. But he would always make instinctively what was the right choice for safety.
Objectively,
not
the
for the entertainment value, not for the script, not for trying to get a last lap title decider in 2021. Just the choice based on safety and procedure. It's not that difficult.
It's like the FIA, they see an incident happen. They're like, right, we know what the logical, correct thing to do is here. But what would all our fans think if we did this? They were going to hate us. So let's not do it and let's do something else instead. It's just stupid.
I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's almost like that meme, Jamie, you know, the guy reaching out and then the other guy hugs him from behind. It would be the FIA trying to make a safety decision and then just hugging them would be Netflix going, no, the script. It's the only way I can think of it.
It's just really bad. The same thing happened in Brazil when they left, like, the whole yellow flag thing qualifying. Yeah, it happens many times. They did it in Miami when they're trying to screw Max over by waiting for him to go past the pits before calling the safety car. Just do the right thing as soon as you have the information to make the right decision. That's it. Yeah, I think we could run the sport better, to be honest.
I genuinely think, Jamie, we could make our own Formula One and it would be better at this point.
But apart from that, it'd be great.
Exactly. We'll make our own.
Bernie Ecclestone.
Oh, dearie me. I mean, he'll be dead pretty soon, so I suppose that could work.
Yeah, we'll inherit it. Perfect.
I mean, the thing as well, is it with the mirror, like, purely from a standpoint, amateur go-karting events would do that. Right.
Yeah. And Formula when you go One to team can't. Sport with your mates, they put a red flag out if they need to get a marshal on the track.
Exactly. It's not that difficult. Like, how on earth can Formula One not figure this out? And it wasn't like it wasn't spotted or anything. It was on the live feed. We watched it. There were yellow flags lap after lap. Yeah. It just beggars belief that there's a very simple solution most of the time to these kind of things. And it never seems like it's simple for the FIA. And you don't know what goes on.
Yeah.
For them to somehow not
it's
fix this.
You know what Max would say? It's because they're in bed with George Russell. And it was going to screw him over if he put a safety car out.
He's already screwed himself over by going to the hard. But yeah, that's
no, that's true,
isn't it? he got better for Lewis Hamilton then, didn't it? Because somehow, he's just given up this year. He forgot to press his pit limiter. Speed button. Oh, man. So he slowed down, sped back up, and then immediately brake checked Lando Norris. So got himself a drive-through.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was Lando in that time period where the yellow flag was out. He got the Max Verstappen treatment of know your rule book. That was it.
He did
for
he
the
did.
Second time in three races because that's also what happened in Brazil start, wasn't it? When Max was like, "Well, actually, you can't
go." Actually, rule subsection 74B of the 1998 FIA regulations state that Lando should not have gone again.
But to be fair to Max, this one was much simpler because yellow flag's out. You don't use DRS and go flat out, do you?
Apparently, that's the fourth time in the turbo hybrid era someone's had a 10-second stop go for that.
I can remember one of them. Kind of incident. I can remember one of them.
Which is?
Raikkonen in 2016 Belgium got one.
17 Belgium, actually, but yeah.
2017 Belgium, correct. Yeah. Yes.
And then Mazepin and Latifi both got one in 2021 at the same GP. But he was done after the race, yeah. So they just got a 30-second penalty. I think it was Austria, I want to say, that season, but I could be wrong.
Precedent. I did feel for him. It felt harsh. Exactly. It felt very harsh, but it is the precedent.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that seemed to have gone under the radar, Jamie, which I don't know whether you remember this as well, Max was Verstappen off the first safety car restart after that. He definitely went and then stopped again. Through the penultimate corner.
I was watching Liverpool City at the same time, to be fair. So.
He went, and then Lando almost went into the back of him because he slowed down and then almost bottled the restart anyway. But yeah, Lando tried to obviously jump him into turn one, going around the outside, so Max did obviously what he always does and just slams the door.
You know what?
Pushes him out wide.
Max didn't go off the track. It's just
this
a very
time,
wide track.
It was a bit of a miracle this time around that he didn't.
Neither of them went off the track, actually. He didn't even force him off.
Lando
He just narrowed
Lando
his line.
Forced out.
He was forced out of the racing line, but he wasn't off track. Go
no, he was forced off the track on the exit.
No. He wasn't.
He was.
2 wheels
he was
on.
Temporarily. Temporarily, he was.
I'm going to check you after this.
We did have another funny one, though, didn't we? Because Sergio Perez is having a pretty quietly okay afternoon, which is very good going by Perez. He was in the points.
He was fourth. He was fourth
place. He was fourth, wasn't he? Yeah, because everyone else was getting screwed over. And then he went and binned it under the safety car by himself and tried to claim it was the car's fault.
He blamed an over-revving engine, which
funnily
the engine will go
right
what
foot,
your
mate.
Foot does. Yeah,
exactly.
So, and it was cold hards. It was another classic one of them. One thing I don't get, if I was a strategist, which obviously I am not, when they were going through the pit lane, you remember China 2017? Your pit lane lost time for making a pit stop. The lowest it can be is when there's a red flag. The second lowest it can ever be to change your tires is when you're going through the pits behind a safety car. Because if you there is space to release, you can.
I don't believe.
You can. It's just when you're trained up, you obviously there's no point because there's no space to release.
Yeah.
Somebody should have pit onto hards and then gone back onto mediums.
This is what I was thinking, especially V-carbs that were sat at the back and things like that. Why
they
didn't
went for
they
softs.
Take this gamble? Yeah, exactly. They completely screwed themselves.
Yeah, somebody should have done that. It would have been genius and it would have really worked. I mean, George Russell tried it, didn't he? He went back onto medium tyres, but then...
Yeah,
he'd already lost all the time being on hards in the first place, so that didn't help. But yeah, the Perez incident was just funny. I mean, yeah, it looks like he's lost his job off the back of this Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I think if he'd have finished third, which he probably would have done if he hadn't, because obviously Norris was still ahead of him at this point.
He definitely would have bottled it.
Well, yeah, but if he has a normal end of the race, he at least finishes in the top five, probably. And that probably saves his seat for 20, like, because they seem to be on the knife edge of will they, won't they? So, yeah. And it looks like he's gone. Spoiler.
Yeah, apparently. Well, I mean, we'll talk about that as we get to the end of the show, won't we? Because there's a couple to discuss, which is quite funny. I mean, yeah, obviously, Perro's binned it under the safety car, or safety car restart, obviously, because then out, because the engine decided it couldn't cope anymore.
Didn't want to be driven by Perez anymore. Don't blame
exactly, him. Exactly. Pierre Gasly as well got very lucky because he almost wiped out Gasly and Leclerc in turn one. I don't get how Pierre had ended up back here, to be honest. Like, he obviously had a decent qualifying and dropped then out
he
of the top
11.
10 early on. Did he start? No, it was a sprint, isn't it? He had a good qualifying.
Somehow
ended up back in, like, with the front runners, which was hilarious.
Was sick on the restart, wasn't he?
Yeah, almost completely wiped out both Piastri and Leclerc because he had a massive lock-up into turn one and then got back past Sainz and just stayed there for the rest of the race. So Alpine, annoyingly, are probably going to hang on now to P6 overall, which neither Jamie and I have...
They might not.
They might
I
not,
still
but
think
they
Haas
probably
have got a chance.
Maybe. Not with the way Hülkenberg drove, because he then immediately binned it under safety car already, off the restart lap anyway.
I'm blaming cold hard tyres, which he wasn't even on, but I'm going to blame
him
anyway.
He was on mediums, so just a general lack of skill.
You know the reason why Alpine have become ridiculously good all of a sudden? Because Ferrari have a title fight, and as we know, whenever Ferrari are nearer a championship...
Are you trying to shoehorn a quiz?
No, I'm not. It's just a fun fact. Because you look back at Ferrari's most recent title fights, and they all get screwed over by a Renault / Alpine. Because you got 2012, Grosjean takes them all out.
Yep.
And then...
To be fair, Grosjean did that to everyone.
He did. Not Vettel, though, who won the title.
Yep.
2010, Vitaly Petrov just turns into Ayrton Senna.
Not quite. It was just Abu Dhabi was awful back in the early days. Before DRS, like, worse than it is now. Like,
and the old track layout as well. Obviously, 08, nothing needs to be said. Crashgate.
Yes, a fair point.
Yeah. 06, they just win it by being good. So, you know, every time Ferrari get near a world championship, Renault just turn up. They get double podium in Brazil out of nowhere.
Years. Yeah. And it's 20. Yeah. What happened in 2017-18, Jamie?
Well, Hülkenberg beat Vettel in China 2018. There you go.
What an oddly specific stat. Is that just because Max took out Seb, wasn't it?
It was, but still. Okay. And he obviously Seb bottled it in Hockenheim, which is Hulk's home race. So,
what,
there you go.
Hülkenberg also bottled the podium there, didn't he?
No, that was the year after.
Not
that
day,
in 2018.
Yeah.
Got fifth place.
But, I mean, yeah, Hülkenberg, like we said, binned it, so we ended up with another VSC. Yeah. I mean, what I don't also get, Jamie, obviously we've gone through all of those penalties. Why were all of them suddenly getting picked up 10 laps after they happened? What were the FIA watching this on, like, some delay somewhere?
ITV plus one.
Exactly. They were watching it on an hour behind.
who knows? But they eventually got to the bottom of things. Verstappen got a 10-second stop go, which at first I thought was just a plus 10.
Verstappen got a 10-second stop
go. Not Verstappen, Lando Norris. Lando Norris got a 10-second stop go because Verstappen dogged him in. And I struggle to believe that Lando was the only one to not lift. I do think...
Yeah,
I guess they have the telemetry.
Exactly.
Lando, he owned up to it. It was his own mistake. And that took him out of second place, which was going to be a good end to the race because they were actually quite similarly paced, weren't they?
I don't think Lando could have done much, but yeah.
Yeah, that took him to last place. Lewis Hamilton had served his drive-through penalty and then wanted to quit. This Phoenix, you know, never give up, always fighting, wanted to quit the race. And the team, the only reason he didn't quit is because he had a 5-second penalty to serve, which would have been carried over to a grid penalty had he not served it in this race. So, yeah, he did carry on. He then overtook Liam Lawson for whatever reason. The V-carbs really fell off at the end of the race on their softs.
Like, he was soft for like 20 laps, despite the fact we watched Joe do it on the sprint, and they lasted about 3. Yeah. So I don't know why they thought Liam might work for them.
Very, very odd one.
Towards the end of the GP.
And that was
but it
kind
meant
of
Lando
that, wasn't
did
it?
Get a point, wasn't it? Lando did still somehow scrape
he
back a point.
He got 2 points because he got his fastest lap point as well.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yeah, of course. So he actually ended up... I mean, yeah, he ended up obviously getting a couple of points. Obviously, Max took the win ahead of Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Russell...
Win number 63, which I love on this weekend of any.
Yeah, that was quite funny. Alonso in P7, Jamie, and... I mean, let's just clap whilst we say this. I hope you're clapping as well. Make sure you're clapping.
I am.
Zhou Guan Yu points in that Sauber. We had to wait an entire year for Sauber to get back there. but driver of the day easily for me. I mean, he basically, as chaos surrounded him, on the only weekend where Sauber looked to have pace since about China, he got the job done.
He did. He did. And to be fair to him, he was pretty good last race as well in Vegas. Like, he outqualified Bottas. He was unlucky that nothing went wrong ahead of him. Because he would finish, like, 13th, did he, or something?
No, he did drop back towards the end. Because they were just on a weird strategy. That was why he was so high up in Vegas.
But still, like, since he got sacked, he's been doing much better. It's like in the Premier League.
Only the last, only literally this weekend. And even then, Bottas was better than him. He just got damaged.
No, Joe outqualified Bottas, didn't he? No, he didn't.
No, wait, he didn't.
Wait.
He didn't.
Q2. I thought Joe qualified him.
To be fair, Bottas was a lap down in the end in Vegas. Joe did beat him there.
Yeah. So since they both lost their seats, I think Joe has had so much pressure on himself all season that you kind of see it's been released, and he's actually driving capably. Like, he didn't set the world alight, but he did what he had to do. He stayed
calm.
I'm
not sure I read that into it. I think he just.
No, it's like when Premier League teams get relegated, they just suddenly start doing better. Because they're like,
I think it was more Bottas just doesn't care.
Yeah, maybe. But regardless, P8 equals his best ever race finish.
the worst car of the Grand Effect era. It's just incredible, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. He's just a Qatar specialist. He went last to ninth.
Well, Sauber is a Qatar specialist. It's so weird, isn't it?
It is. It is odd. K-Mag, Kevin Magnussen. Probably one of my favourite radio messages of the year.
Yep.
When he passed Alex Albon, who's been weaving all over the place, shoving him off all over the place, K-Mag gets him running outside of turn one and just says, F off.
Yeah, pretty much. He tried it a couple of times, hadn't he? Yeah. Tsunoda and Magnussen are pretty much the two most...
It was Albon.
Well,
Albon
and Max. Was it Albon that he said that? I thought it was Tsunoda who said that too, because then he got
around
Tsunoda
was well back. Tsunoda was gone.
He'd already gone past Tsunoda, hadn't he? Sorry, yeah, you are right.
Yeah, and if there's one radio message to sum up a driver's Formula 1 career, it's that for Kevin Magnussen.
Exactly. No, I think still suck my balls, mate, is better, but yeah.
That wasn't a radio message.
That wasn't a radio message, but it was... But, right, okay, Mr. You're like Max Verstappen ringing out the rules of now.
Well, actually...
It was kind of one of those races where I got to the end of it and I'm like, lucky I'm not invested in the... You know, obviously, there is no title fight or anything. I don't really care who wins out of McLaren and Ferrari. In fact, if anything, I want McLaren to win so Lewis gets more wind tunnel time next year.
I want Ferrari to win just because it would be really funny if McLaren bottle both championships.
That would be quite funny too. I don't think they will, but I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Well, they should have wrapped it up here if Norris obeyed yellow flags.
They would have, yeah, to be fair.
Yeah. But we ended up with, obviously, Leclerc doing nothing all race and popping up in second place. How did that happen?
It's basically been Leclerc all year, hasn't it? Just quietly brilliant.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't brilliant, was he? He just didn't get a puncture and got the right timing on the safety car.
That's basically what Joe did. But he was singing his praises.
He was good. He was good. He wasn't like... It's not a Leclerc showstopper. Pierre Gasly, shout out to him for dragging Alpine up into sixth again.
Some fifth even. Oh, sorry,
well,
sixth in the
sixth
points.
In the championship.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, I get you now.
Is it 7 points, I want to say?
Let me have a look. I'm just finding it now, again. Alpine 59, Haas 54, VCarb 46.
So VCarb are out of it.
Well, I think much,
they're nailed on for eighth because they've got to get they've got to get 8 points to even beat Haas.
Yeah.
Haas could beat Alpine. Alpine have got Countback, which will help, obviously, with that second place in Brazil.
I mean, you're basically asking for Haas here an eighth and a ninth, aren't you?
Which they got in Mexico, which was a fairly normal race, and they got it in COTA. So if Abu Dhabi's normal, that could happen. They just need both drivers to be on it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not really ever been a particularly good Haas track, though, if I'm not mistaken. Although, to be fair, they have delivered at more circuits this year than we've seen.
Yeah, they've been more consistently good, haven't they? It helps when you've got capable drivers as well, because they haven't since 2020, probably.
And they're getting rid of the one that binned it this weekend, so...
They're getting rid of both of them.
They are. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, but... I still think sacking Magnussen for Ocon was a bad decision.
It's just sideways, isn't it? It's just a very sideways move. But, yeah. We are going to do your quiz real quick. It's
okay.
I think you should get all of these, if you ask me. Because
it's because you know the answers. That's why if I ask you...
Because I do know the answers. It's true. Zhou Guanyu, the driver of the day... for both of us, we'll get that.
Name every Chinese driver of the day.
you're gonna go get a minute because there's only eight answers. You have to name. He scored points in six, I think, Grand Prix. Let me fact check that. Six or seven.
So you don't even know the answers to your own quiz.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 Grand Prix in his Formula One career. You've got to name any driver to finish on the podium in any Grand Prix that Joe has scored points in. Go.
Oh, dearie me. So Verstappen, Leclerc, Piastri, Russell, Norris, Sainz, Hamilton, Perez.
No, not Perez.
No? Perez has never got a podium when he's... Oh, I'm trying to think. Other top drivers. Bottas?
No, what, he since would not. Joe's been F1, Bottas has been his teammate.
Ocon, one left. Alonso...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Easy.
I just throwing names out there. Easy quiz. I think you're going to ask me to name the Grand Prix that Zhou scored points. That would have been more difficult.
I could have done that, but then I am a fan of his. So.
Exactly. Yeah, you are.
And I've got it up and I've got it up in front of me. That would help.
That would also help. That would also help. I mean, let's talk about James. Well, actually, no. Let's go through all of our Grand Prix stuff that we need to talk about.
Yes.
Obviously, we've done the quiz. Driver of the day, we both said is Zhou Guanyu. The last one then is obviously predictions recap. I had a 7-point lead coming into this one, you said?
Yes. Yeah.
So if I pull out one extra point here, it's done. But I don't think I have. You've absolutely egged this, haven't you?
I kind of have. It was 75-68 before the Grand Prix weekend.
Yep.
I'm looking at our Bahrain stuff. What the heck? I had it up there. right. We said that... Well, you said, as we said, Leclerc... pole position for me.
I don't know why you were thinking that, but...
Leclerc sprint win for me.
Leclerc sprint win, yeah.
Didn't happen. Nope. You said Oscar Piastri sprint win. Should not have happened.
But it did, so it's 2 points.
You said Lando Norris would get pole position. He didn't.
He should have, but he didn't,
I said George Russell would get pole position, and he did. Very well deserved.
He didn't. He wasn't the fastest, though, was he?
But he did get pole position.
I'll get two stupid points for sprint. You get two stupid points for qualifying.
Yes. Yes, we do it off who starts first on the grid, because when this engine pens, we don't predict Verstappen to get pole at Belgium, for instance.
No, we don't. Exactly.
I said George Russell would then win the race, which he didn't. But that had a knock-on, an Esteban knock-on effect.
That's the worst pun of all time.
I put Charles Leclerc in second place, and he was.
Yep,
I then put Oscar Piastri in third place, and he was.
6 points. Yeah, the eggiest 6 points of your life, but you take them.
I do.
That is
I do. You said Lando Norris would win.
Yep.
Incorrect. You said Oscar Piastri would finish second, plus one.
Yep.
And you said Charles Leclerc would finish third, plus
one. I did hedge my bets on
this. You've been bailed out then by matching what I did. Otherwise, I'm absolutely having you.
Well, I didn't match you, but I did go the alternate of you. I got
so it's 6-4.
You get 2 points.
So there's 5 points in it, which is quite a lot of points when there's
it's
anybody available.
It's a healthy lead, but it's the kind of lead you could
it's
overturn.
A Kimi Raikkonen in 07. That's what you're asking.
It is, exactly. But it is the kind of lead that you would overhaul heading into the final race. And of course, obviously, we will do our predictions for Abu Dhabi later on in the week. We've got two other bits to go through, haven't we, Jamie? Which is impressive.
I wanted to
do
a third bit first.
Okay. A third bit
Christian
first
Horner.
Is impressive.
Christian Horner saying... Yabba dabba do on the radio. I just absolutely love
it.
It's pure housery from Red Bull. Yeah.
That's George Russell, isn't it?
It's George Russell's radio message that he says that one time when he says crazy things on the radio.
And everybody hated it then.
And GP saying, I don't think you drove unnecessarily slowly today. I just love it. Seeing Red Bull rinse George Russell, I could watch it all day.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. That's the first of three news points, apparently. I mean, we're lucky we're doing this of an evening today, Jamie, because Esteban Ocon's been sacked. We've given him stick all year, and I kind of feel this is a bit harsh. Now it's happened.
It's funny. I just, like, laughed when I saw it. I mean, it happened basically immediately, didn't it, after...
It was talked about before the race ended.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he went into the paddock for the press interviews and stuff, and then immediately was like, thank you to the mechanics, thank you for the team. We'll see what happens next. And it's like, well, if this isn't a goodbye, then you don't know what it is. And yes, he has just been sacked because Alpine, and I've fact-checked this with the race personally by watching one of their videos.
You fact-checked this with them, you've watched their video.
Yes, Alpine wanted rid of him. It wasn't Ocon who started this. So obviously Ocon's going to Haas, we all know this.
Yeah.
Alpine, when I first saw the news, I was like, well, maybe Ocon, like, leveraged it so he could go to the Haas end of season test. But Alpine were like, okay, you can do that, but you've got to let Doohan drive in Abu Dhabi. That wasn't how it went. How it went was Alpine wanted Doohan to go, and the goodwill gesture of letting him drive the Haas was just taken as leverage. And they were like, you can only go and do this test if you don't drive in Abu Dhabi.
Because
obviously Ocon is still under contract until the end of December.
Exactly.
For Alpine.
Yeah.
Whereas now he's not, because they've sacked him.
Exactly, yeah. I wonder if he gets his last payroll as well. He should still get his last paycheck.
That would be a big concern, to be honest.
I would be if I was a Formula One driver.
I'm sure he got a P2 bonus back in Brazil. That'll cover it.
Probably, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's kind of one of those ones, isn't it, where they're going, Ocon won't care, surely, will he? Like,
I mean, you're an F1 driver. You don't really hand a Grand Prix away if you can help it, do you? But
no, but on the other hand, I mean, he's been moaning, hasn't he, for weeks since the upgrade at COTA, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He feels they've been giving Gasly preferential treatment, and I'm not going to put my tinfoil hat on Jamie or anything, but it does seem a little bit odd that these two have been pretty much even forever, and suddenly Gasly is, apart from Brazil, dunking like 0.8 of a second on him out of nowhere.
Even in Brazil, Gasly outqualified him. And then Ocon just got lucky. But yeah, it is. But then when you've got one driver staying and one driver not, you're gonna put the upgrades in the favour of the driver who wants...
Yeah, but the point is they've apparently had the same car, apart from one subtle change.
No, they have had the same car, but they've taken the car in the direction of Gasly, because Gasly has a unique driving style.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
And like, you're going to do that when you've got one driver staying and one driver not.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's fair enough. Exactly. Well, like with Lewis, isn't it, over at Mercedes.
Well, similarly, yeah, but they're not deliberately making the car slower for one driver.
No, but they are.
That's just what happens.
Exactly. Alongside that, though, finally, Jamie, and for some reason, I mean, this obviously we keep hearing this getting turned every single weekend, don't we? But it does look like Perez might be gone by the end of the year.
Not the end. Well, after.
Sorry, at the end of the year. 2025. Yeah, only Alpine could sign. Alpine have somehow got the glitch from F123 where your contract expires before the final race.
Yeah.
So you have to sign with your new team early.
And it feels like they're trying to give Doohan a safe bed to land in. But also, it's the first of his 5-race contract, isn't it?
I was going to say, this reeks of Flavio Briatore. If he doesn't deliver in Abu Dhabi, he's gone before he even starts.
Yeah, and they'll get Colapinto in.
Apparently, people don't want Colapinto anymore. VCAR now said they're not interested.
Yeah, it's almost like one swallow doesn't make a summer, and he crashes quite a lot.
Suddenly. Colapinto, the most damage he's done to his potential in Formula 1 is by driving the car more.
Yeah, which is usually not how it goes. I guess Nick DeVries did the same thing. Perez is gone, according to ESPN, which are generally, like, they're generally pretty good.
Is this hot off the press?
As in, it's hot off the press, not since we started recording, but since about 4 o'clock. There's genuine sources being like, oh, he's actually gone now for 2025. So this is like when the BBC report stuff, you know, they're a credible news organization. They don't just report stuff based on nothing. They're not as credible as BBC, but they're not far off. So I'm fully on board that I believe this is it. And if it's not, then I've got egg on my face. And that's
yeah,
okay.
I mean, I'm not a betting man, but I think if I was at this point, it'd be what I'd be guessing at this point. I mean, it's got to happen, hasn't it? At some yeah. point. But again, it does raise the question of who do you put in that car? Because apparently all the talk is about Lawson. But I'm kind of there going, if I was Liam Lawson or Yuki Tsunoda, I'm not sure I'd want to have the call up.
I think you would, but I don't think either of them would do particularly well.
If I was
well,
Yuki, I don't think I would. I'd be more interested in going Aston Martin with Honda.
No, if the opportunity comes to go and drive a front-running car, you don't turn it down, do you? So,
yeah, I suppose. But is it a front-running car anymore, though, Jamie, next year?
Well, true.
They've lost Adrian Newey. I can't wait
it
for
wasn't
Red
a front-running
Bull to
car this year, but Verstappen still won the title.
It was easily the best car all year. Yeah, I mean, you say that, like we said, Adrian Newey gone, Jamie. What happens when Red Bull show up with literally a Ford Transit at the start of next year? Because they're obviously working with Ford in the future.
They are.
It's going to happen.
Are. Verstappen will still win the title, so that'll be all right.
He won't. I will say now Verstappen will not become a five-time world champion by the end of next year.
I'll agree with you. I don't think it's winning 25, genuinely.
Wonderful.
It could easily be his last title, and I'm going to savour it.
Fair enough. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? I think we've rattled through everything, haven't we?
We'll talk about which of the 15 drivers might replace... Perez on Thursday or Friday, whenever this next podcast goes out.
Whenever we do the next show. Well, there we go then. Thank you all so much as always for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. We're still trying to hit 1K subs by the end of the year, but I've been very, very bad recently, so I apologise. But thank you to everybody that is here continuing to support and enjoy the show. And Jamie and I, like we said, we'll be back with a preview for the final race of 2024 in Abu Dhabi. Later on this week.